Now, as you move into the 31st chapter of Ezekiel, we have the third prophecy given against Egypt. In the first verse, "And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying." Now, this prophecy was given the month before Jerusalem was taken, in 587 B.C., whereas the previous prophecy given in the last part of the last chapter, the 30th chapter, happened about 4 months before Jerusalem was taken in 587 B.C. But in this prophecy, we're going to have the king of Egypt compared to one of his predecessors, to another king who had been a very great king. And as he looks at this predecessor, he's going to be able to see then himself as though he's looking in a mirror. And whatever happened to this king of Assyria, the same thing is going to happen to Pharaoh. So in the second verse he says, "Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitudes, whom art thou like in thy greatness?" So this is addressed to Pharaoh, and not only to Pharaoh, but to his multitudes. Now, just as Pharaoh had a very great confidence in these multitudes, the armies, the followers, those that were his subjects, as well as those that were very close to him in his reign, he had a great confidence in them, confidence that they could carry him through any kind of a problem or crisis that should come up. Even so, they too had the same kind of a confidence in Pharaoh. And so this prophecy is directed to both then. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitudes. And then the question is directed, "Whom art thou like in thy greatness?" Now, this is one of the most useful of all principles when we're talking about history, and that is to look back into history and to see somebody who had a very similar position to what you have, and see what kind of events they had to deal with, see what kind of an outcome they had as they dealt with these events, what mistakes they made, and then you can see pretty well what's going to happen to you. If you make the same mistakes, if you're standing in the very same position they were in, then there's a very good chance that you're going to have a very similar outcome to what they had. Also, when criminals are being judged, we find that one of the great principles of the courts is to look back and see how precedents were established as similar type crimes were investigated and tried and convicted and punishment given. And so that would be an appropriate thing here in the case of Pharaoh. As Pharaoh stood now before God and was ready to be given the great judgment of God, the previous judgment given to other similar kings would be a great precedent that could be applied to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh is told then, and his multitudes are also told, "Whom art thou like in thy greatness?" And we today must be able to look back into history and see what has happened in times past, not only in terms of secular history, but also in terms of the church and of God's people. And if we can see things that have happened in the past, we can see then very muchly what kind of a position we stand in today. And the Bible does use these instances, these episodes of history, and applies them over and over again. For example, just as Babylon here was a great threat to Israel, to the people of God, and taking them into captivity, even so we have a spiritual Babylon today that's a great threat to the church, the apostate church, and it stands just as ready to take the church into captivity today. And many of those occurrences are very, very parallel today. Just as Egypt here was a great threat to the people of God because it represented sin, it represented idolatry, it represented going back into ways that were contrary to God, even so today the true church has an Egypt. It has sin there, ever ready to take it in, to make an agreement with it, to give it comfort and solace, contrary to what God would want to have happen. And so the bad things that happened to God's people in the past for making these very same mistakes, those similar bad things will happen to God's people today for making similar mistakes. We must come out of idolatry today just as much as they needed to come out of it then. We must be in fear of losing our position in the Canaan of God today just as much as they needed to be in fear of losing their position in the Canaan of God during that day for very similar type sins. And so history repeats itself. And so to be able to look back and to see somebody like us in history with the same position, same problems facing them, and to see what happened to them as they dealt with these problems, it's a very beneficial principle to apply, because chances are we're going to be faced with very similar circumstances. And so it was with this king of Egypt, with the Pharaoh. Whom art thou like in thy greatness? So in verse 3, he picks out a very great king, one that is in all ways comparable to the king of Pharaoh, one that Pharaoh would probably feel that he was doing very well if he lived up to the greatness of, the king of Assyria. He says, "Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon, with fair branches, with a shadowing shroud, and of an high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs." Now he's talking here about Sennacherib. Sennacherib was a very great king. Sennacherib was a monarchy that had existed from the time of Nimrod. And as you know, Nimrod set up the first kingdom. He was the originator of idolatry. He was the originator of the tower builders that is a practice so well liked among the idolaters. And here was a king that could date back to Nimrod. He was among the very first of all the kingdoms, and he was most powerful in every way. This great king of Assyria is described as a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches, and the cedar tree was among the most mighty of all trees. It grew to a very great height and stature, and it was a strong, powerful, a much desired type of tree. It did not produce fruit, but it grew to an enormous size, and it was considered to be one of the most invincible of the trees. And so this Pharaoh is like a cedar in Lebanon. Other things have been compared, the kingdom of God to a cedar in Lebanon. With fair branches and a shadowing shroud, this tree was the thing that dominated the area around about it. It had the good branches, and it had a shadowing shroud, so that to be around it, you would be in the shadow of it. You'd have to notice it. You'd have to realize that it was there. And, of course, then you could use this shadow as a beneficial thing when in the presence of this great tree. And he says, of a high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. He was a very tall tree. The top was thick, healthy all the way. It wasn't just a skinny pole going up, but this was a tree that was filled with healthy, noticeable branches. Verse 4, the waters made him great. The deep set him up on high with her rivers running round about his plants, and sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. So this tree was fed by the waters, and as you know, any plant that can have adequate water can usually do quite well, and that's the case of this great king of Assyria. The deep set him up on high, where the river's running round about his plants. So this river not only fed this tree, but it also fed then the plants round about, so that he had a flourishing, productive kingdom. And the same element that made him so great ran throughout the kingdom to make the kingdom a great kingdom. And he talks about here, sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Verse 5, therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field, and his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. So this tree was higher than the others. It was very noticeable. He multiplied, and the reason he multiplied was because of the multitude of the waters. And when he shot forth, that is, he spread, he grew, he dominated. And that's the characteristics of this king now of Assyria. He was an invincible king. His kingdom was, instead of diminishing, it was ever spreading. It was ever growing. his bowels were shooting forth. And so this king of Assyria was a very fitting precedent to compare the king Pharaoh to the king of Egypt. Well, we're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.